All right. Good morning, Catherine. We have.
Good morning. Are we on?
Yeah, it's been a month. Do you remember how to do this? Because it's only been a month.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been a. It hasn't been a month.
It's been a month.
Really?
June 19th was the last time we recorded.
Wow. I don't know where the time goes. The time freaking flies, man. That's all
I
know.
Well, it took a lot of effort to put episode 100 together.
Uh-huh.
You know, we really needed to put some effort into this because this is a very important part of our lives is this podcast. So.
Yeah.
I put at least 5, maybe 6 minutes of effort into this one.
I put maybe 12.
How about you?
Maybe 12.
Oh, come
15
on. You read like 2-3 dozen goddamn articles and sent every single one of them to me.
I know.
Different emails over the course of I don't know how many days. And.
But we've got it honed down to like a fine tooth comb here.
Yeah, sure you do. A fine tooth comb.
Okay, I don't know.
So
what is a fine tooth comb? I don't even know what it is.
Okay, it means the combs, the little forks on there, the prongs
are
small, so you can get more of them in there. So this is the opposite of what I want from you.
Oh, okay.
I want a coarse tooth comb from you. I want just a few articles that are strong.
Right, well, so much goes through my head. You know how my brain works.
I don't want everything that goes through your head.
Yes,
I want
you
a
need
sieve.
It. You need it.
Just for the large particles to get through.
Yeah, well.
Because there's a lot of little crappy particles that go through your brain, and I really don't like them.
Well, too bad, James. Too bad.
I know. You have no idea how.
Oh my God!
About this.
I think I do right now.
So a lot. You wanted to recap the whole podcast and do let's do a recap of 100 the past 99 episodes, which I always thought was really dumb. And then you said, you know what? So much has happened the past month. We'll just do from then.
Right. Let's do from then. Yeah.
So we're not even doing a recap of the podcast from the last episode because there'd be no recap because there's nothing from the podcast since just the world.
Just the world. Right. Can I
the world in 99 episodes.
Right. Go ahead. Can we start with some follow-up, though, with Lisa Murkowski?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know I sent you a crappy YouTube video that you despise. But the point was that, like, I don't know, we ranted and then apologized to Lisa Murkowski, Senator Murkowski. But I briefly want to rant again, even though the story has been a couple weeks in the past. Yeah, she voted yes because her obligation was to the people of the states of Alaska, and she kind of fucked the rest of the country. So thank you.
Well, A, you don't have to use that kind of language.
Okay.
And B, what they did was they gave her some carve-outs, right, for Alaska. So Alaska wasn't going to get as destroyed as the rest of us. And so it's like, well, as long as I get mine for mine, it's okay. And I think, you know, there's a little solidarity that we're missing here. And that we are the United States of America, not the independent states of America that says F you to the rest of them. If you think it's a bad bill, don't vote for it. That seems like a simple one to ask for.
Yeah.
Is that a simple premise to work off of?
I would think so. But she did sort of redeem herself. What was it, yesterday or early in the morning?
Did she?
Well, she voted with Collins against that 9.6 trillion, whatever, gazillion.
Billion. Yeah, billion. It's only billion. That's what makes it so disgusting and despicable. It's nothing change. It's nothing change. You make such a big deal, not you, but... They make such a big deal of cutting the deficit, but they're not cutting the deficit. They're blowing up the deficit and making a spectacle of these tiny little cuts that they make on things that are already law, have already passed law, things that they made a deal with the Democrats to pass, and now they're revoking all that stuff. It's like
I know it's just, but she voted against it, and so I mean 50%. I mean I don't know. Let's just move on.
Right, but it passed anyway. So
too late. So anyway, so let's go on to some new items. So what?
So I think what I'm going to say to Murkowski is that we are going to send her off. We're going to deport her to Alaska. See how she likes staying in Alaska. Mm-hmm. The new item that I came up with, woo, brilliant me, is like Trump is AI. I say that because he seems to have a complete disregard and disconnection from reality. And AI does that too. You ask AI a question and you can kind of prompt it to keep going down these crazy roads that have nothing to do with reality. And that's really what Trump sounds like. Is he the original AI?
Sadly, no.
I would call him a large language model, except I think in this case, he's more of a small language model because he doesn't have a lot of language.
Right.
And new words, I can't remember. What was it a few months ago?
Grocery
was one of them, but like enlargement or something. I can't remember. There was another word that I can't
remember. Such a beautiful word.
I wish I could remember that now. Yeah, well, grocery, yeah. There's one of the words he didn't never heard before because he never had to go grocery shopping because he was born with a golden spoon in his mouth. I know that's silver, but whatever. It, for him, it was actually gold because everything in his world is gold.
Oh, God. Thank including God. The stuff on the walls.
You're not impressed with the federal relief response? Is that your next
thing? The federal relief response. Thing? Oh, relief? The relief response?
Relief.
No, I'm not. What did you think about it? I looked at that little thing you sent me. The state versus disaster response. No, I'm not.
The new FEMA, the director of FEMA, and FEMA's whole goal now isn't to actually help the states, is to empower them to not be able to respond to disasters on their own.
I don't understand where this is going. I don't understand anything that this administration is doing. I don't.
I don't either, because you're going to save a little bit of money by not supporting FEMA. You're going to lose all that money and 10 times more by not being able to respond to disasters and losing more lives and losing more property and having a much more difficult time rebuilding because each state doesn't have the resources to have and you know, while the state is in a crisis mode, they're basically under attack by, you know, a natural event.
Right.
They're supposed to be doing even more than they could normally do, except that they've been cut back in what they can do because they are being hammered by either a volcano or a tornado or
fires
or a Trump. Some god ungodly devastation, which no one deserves.
Right. Your comment, you said more death. That was the only comment you sent.
Yes. Right.
And so my question was, That was
Christy Noem.
Christy Noem, of course.
She was talking about how this empowers the states to do their own rescuing. It's like, oh, so like if I'm like capsized my boat and no one's coming for me, that just empowers me to rescue myself.
Well, that's basically what they're saying. And like you were saying, when a state is in dire straits and struggling with the floods, with the wildfires, with the hurricanes, and the infrastructure that would or could support the rescue efforts are hampered by the said disaster, how is the state supposed to respond? It doesn't make any sense. And isn't this why we pay federal taxes? That's what my question is.
Well, that and so we can have a U.S. military.
God. Anyway, do you think that this policy, and I'm putting that in finger quotes.
It's a policy. You don't have to put it in finger quotes. It's definitely a policy.
I mean, do you think that likely contributed to the destruction that took place and is currently still taking place in the Grand Canyon with the loss of the Grand Canyon?
I don't have enough information to know how much that affected the burning down of the
Grand Canyon Lodge on the north rim.
I'm just going to assume it did because these people aren't competent. And there has been speculation, and there's a little bit to support it, but like I said, I don't have enough. But I'm gonna go ahead and believe it because these people.
I want to believe it. Yeah, they need to look into it.
And you know, the floods in Kerr County, the Coast Guard guy who is lauded for saving at least 150 lives, probably literally double that. He would not have been there if Christy Noem had had her way.
Jesus.
Right? Because they were automatically engaged or called up.
Right.
Before the federal government even got a chance to get its pants on. So based on Christy Noem's desire to have how things work, he wouldn't have shown up. You know, they probably have at least 300 dead. They haven't, 150 dead now, 150 still unaccounted for. If you're unaccounted for,
you're dead.
You're dead. Yeah. Right. So that would have been, it would have been probably double the death toll.
Oh my God.
Just for one guy in one helicopter. And you know, that guy, I don't know if you know his story, but this is like his first mission. This is his first deployment. Mm-hmm. The helicopter drops him down, and he's getting a bunch of people together to try to get them saved.
Right.
And there's another call that the helicopter gets, and he says, "Go ahead, leave me here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to save these people here. You come back when you can." And for 3 hours, he's cut off because there's not enough emergency services to respond to him.
Right.
Meanwhile, he's doing relief on the ground as he can. He's doing first aid and getting people out to higher ground as much as he can. And you know, he goes doing his job. But you know, people like him will not exist, and if they do exist, will not be allowed to respond.
Unbelievable. I just don't see how this is helping anything.
As I said earlier, I actually have been to Kerr County many times.
Right.
When I lived down in Texas, I would travel to Kerrville. Well, basically once a year to do, I would judge the furniture show that they had, the Kerrville Arts Center in Kerrville. It's a beautiful little place. And, you know, you wouldn't think if you're in the Arts Center that it's surrounded by a bunch of MAGA, but unfortunately now these days it really is. I mean, once you get out of there, you see pretty quickly it was a pretty conservative area. It was also, you know, and I say this almost reluctantly, but it's actually a very beautiful part of Texas.
Okay. No, I mean, that's...
Because, you know...
Why be reluctant about Mother
Dallas,
Nature?
I lived in Houston. I lived in College Station. And those are all pretty miserable mm-hmm. places. You can say the same thing about Phoenix, but at least it's dry here.
Right.
I remember when I was down there, I stayed at a hotel that was by a river. I don't know if it was the river. I don't remember specifically. But I remember driving around uh-huh. Kerr County. And like every 20 to 30 minutes, you would drive through an area that had recently been flooded.
Oh, wow. Really? Well, they said it was no great surprise.
It's like they were always talking about how, well, I don't know if that road is open now. This was just like normal. This wasn't a flood year. This is just normally, you know, the floods come and then because they don't know how to build the roads very well down there. They don't want to invest in building bridges.
Yeah, why do that? Well, yeah, why do that?
Things would be flooded out.
Damn. Oh, I don't know where we're going with this country. I don't know. Hey, who was Ted Knight? You sent me a little note about Ted Knight.
Ted Knight was a big actor in the 80s. He had, I can't remember the TV show he had on there, but he was a big famous actor in the 80s. And it came to me as a shock, as just one of these kind of rabbit holes that I went down. I was looking at Plex, and Plex shows me all the actors and what the actors have been in.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed Sergeant Hulka from Stripes, uh-huh. the drill sergeant.
Right.
This is what started blowing my mind.
Okay.
Is I looked up his biography, and he was 52 when he did that movie. And what struck me was, I am 54 now. And he always seemed like an old man to me.
He did.
And I am older than he was in the movie. And then the next year, in 1981, when he was 53, he died.
Oh, my God.
I was like, holy shit. So I was like thinking, okay, from my youth, who's like the oldest person I can remember from a film? And I was thinking Caddyshack, and I was thinking Judge Smales, the bad guy, basically.
Right, right.
From Caddyshack. Uh-huh. Then that was Ted Knight. Ted Knight.
I just
him.
Pulled up a picture of him, and I do know who he is. That's what.
Yeah,
when I read
that. Anyone of our age.
Yeah.
And he would recognize him immediately.
Right.
Maybe not his name, but they would recognize him. Because like I say, I don't remember the TV show, but
he was all over the place, too. He was in a lot of stuff.
When he did Caddyshack and was supposed to be the old judge.
The old judge.
Whose wife, generally, I don't know how old she was, but she was probably 70.
Uh-huh.
Judge Smales, or Ted Knight, was 57 when he did that movie. That just hurt my noggin a little bit. I mean, granted, that's 3 years older than I am now, but that seems like it's basically the same, and... I guess if I were to be an actor now, I'd have to play a grandpa.
Or like the crotchety old judge.
I could be a crotchety anything.
I think you could be a crotchety old judge. I think that would be great.
The two what? The two utes.
The two utes.
What's a ute?
I know that. I know that reference from my cousin Vinny.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
I want to say Danny DeVito, but I know it's the other short guy. Your Cousin Vinny is the movie.
Yes.
And I love that movie because...
Marissa Tomei
was just like not meant to be the lead actor. This was, what was his name?
Joe Pesci.
Okay. So the thing about My Cousin Vinny was that was supposed to be a vehicle for Joe Pesci. That was supposed to be like him being like, oh, he's the star of the... Okay, technically he had more lines, but Marissa Tomei completely stole the entire movie.
And she won an Academy Award for her performance.
As well she should have.
Yeah, she did.
It was kind of a dumb movie. She saved that movie.
Yeah.
She
did. And she physically probably was at the top of her game. I mean, I think she looked just beautiful.
She looks beautiful right now. So shut up.
She does look beautiful. Okay. Sorry. But for back then, I mean, like when you look at some of these old films and like the back then, hold on. Let me finish.
Okay.
Like when you look at the films and you look at the hairstyles and the clothing and all of that, sometimes it just looks hokey. You know, it was like cool back then, whenever then was. But now it just hasn't aged well.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
you look at stuff like cars look old. Or you're like, God, how long ago was this? But her outfits, her hair, everything,
right,
I think it aged like fine wine.
No, but that was her. Her whole appearance there was, it was a stereotype.
Right.
It was an overblown stereotype. So that wasn't ever really real. It was like she's an alien from Star Trek or something. Might as well. It's like that's the relevant reality of her. That person wasn't real that she was playing. So it's
right, but it still
timeless.
Aged well.
It's timeless because of that.
Okay. Yeah, on that note, I feel older every day. You know, when I look in the mirror, I don't see anything.
So no, Joe Pesci's look. Was bad then, and it's bad now.
Oh, it's poor.
Her look was amazing then, but it wasn't real for the time, and so it stayed good. And she's 60 now, by the way, and still looks amazing.
She looks amazing. She's just a beautiful woman.
Why are we talking about My Cousin Vinny?
usually like 100 mark, you know, like to mark the history of podcast, you know, we would rewind like the shows, but you know, we've said what we said. And so I did have the brain fart that, you know, we should just, you know, because some shit has really gone down, James,
right,
in the 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, whatever time frame it was. Yeah.
It's been a month since you got out of bed.
Oh, my God. It's just been crazy.
Tell me the things that have annoyed you the most in the past 4 weeks.
Well, as of this past week and mostly yesterday, it's been Epstein, Epstein, Epstein. But I don't really, I can't even believe I said that name, but I don't really want to give that story any more airtime. It's just all over the news cycle everywhere.
If we can drive him crazy and drive his base crazy the way they try to drive us crazy, let's do it.
I think his base is fracturing. I really do believe that.
Okay, that's the other point, is that that's why we need to start hammering on this, because we can fracture, we might be able to fracture his base with this.
Right. I want to see the note textualized, I guess, in the Wall Street Journal from yesterday where, you know, he wrote all that weird stuff.
To Epstein for his birthday card?
Yeah, I didn't understand it.
I didn't understand it. Honestly, I didn't. It sounded like a deranged mind. It sounded like AI. It sounded like early AI.
It sounded to me like he always sounds, I don't know, like a little disconnected, thinking he's funnier than he is.
Well, obviously, but maybe, you know, maybe they had a secret language that made sense in.
Maybe. But anyway, ew. But then I also read that Colbert has been canceled. This all happened since our last podcast. Right. 3 days after he called out the CBS parent company, Paramount, for its $16 million settlement with Trump. That looked to anyone like a bribe.
Right. Paramount is rolling over like a two-bit whore.
Right. And CBS, to me, is far, you know, down for the count.
Well, that's Paramount, right?
Yeah, Paramount. Said, okay. I was going to download, you know, Paramount had offered 99 cents for the first 2 months. And I didn't even, after I saw, and I was thinking about doing it just to see what their streaming service had to offer. And I had complete distaste even for 99 cents a month for 2 months to try their service.
Well, I got Paramount Plus with Walmart Plus or whatever the hell their quest is. Right. It's supposed to be this great deal. It's $50 a year, and I get both. So I tried it, and I immediately canceled them because when I signed up, I assumed if you're paying for Paramount, well, certainly they're going to give you no ads. But no, Paramount Plus comes with ads even if you pay
for it. Oh, of course it does.
You have to pay like $20 a month or some crazy thing.
Yeah,
like
none
that.
Of this is worth it. None
and,
of this is worth
it. And, you know, Picard season 1 and 2, they should pay me to watch that crap. As a Trekkie... As a huge Trekkie, I can say that it's one of the worst things I've ever seen on TV.
Oh, my God.
And I am embarrassed now. I mean, as I said before, years ago, well, like last year in the podcast, which was actually two months ago, Jean-Luc Picard was arguably one of my favorite, like one of my two favorite captains. Sisko and Picard would trade off of who I... Picard is not even on the list anymore because of that show.
Oh, my God.
That show's destroyed my image of Captain Picard.
Oh, no. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad.
That's pretty bad. I mean, honestly, Sisko is always really the king of captains.
Okay.
If you know Star Trek, I mean, that's our,
I don't.
We can argue, but you're going to lose.
Well, I will lose because I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
But
fair enough.
Okay. And so anyway, moving on, and as of yesterday, this is just in like 24 hours, you know, Trump has cankles.
What are you talking about that for?
I don't know. I just had, because I have cankles sometimes, and I empathize with the man for once.
Don't.
Okay. Can I read something? Like the other thing that kind of stood out to me since the last podcast was the threats to revoke Rosie O'Donnell's citizenship.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I just really want to read what she wrote because, I mean, love her or leave her, I think Rosie had a point. May I read this?
Yes.
She wrote, "Hey, Donald, you rattled again? 18 years later, and I still rent free in that collapsing brain of yours. You call me a threat to humanity, but I'm everything you fear. A loud woman, a queer woman, a mother who tells the truth. An American who got out of the country before you set it ablaze. You build walls, I build a life for my autistic kid in a country where decency still exists. You crave loyalty, I teach my children to question power. You sow fear on golf courses, I make art about surviving trauma. You lie, you steal, you degrade. I nurture, I create, I persist. You are everything that is wrong with America, and I'm everything you hate about what's still right with it. You want to revoke my citizenship? Go ahead and try King Joffrey with a tangerine spray tan. I'm not yours to silence. I never was." That still gives me chills.
Okay. I mean, I get the general sense of it, but I don't find like it's that compelling.
I think it's compelling.
Because, I don't find it terribly compelling because it could be better. I feel like it's kind of second rate.
Oh, my God.
No, I feel like she threw in stuff that was not relevant. It doesn't flow well. It's like you write better than that.
Well, you know, she probably was emotional, but I think she got her point across. It was a comparison and contrast. Everything is revealed contrast,
that.
James. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was, I thought it was brilliant. I like Rosie O'Donnell, and I think that I can't understand why he still is so upset about being dissed on TV like 18 years ago. He just can't let go of anything.
Right.
And that's so disturbing. It's like there are real fires. There are real wildfires in this country. There's real stuff going on. And all I see is an effort to hurt.
You understand, like for Trump, O'Donnell actually exists because she's a celebrity.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So she's a person because when she speaks, she has an influence on other people. So she's a celebrity. If you're not a celebrity, no, he wouldn't care about you.
Okay. So he'll never hear our podcast.
Right.
That's
so
good.
He's deeply offended by the fact that someone who should be on his level doesn't like him.
Oh, okay.
I by no means a Rosie O'Donnell fan. I find her to be a little annoying. I respect her point of view here. I respect the things that she's done in the past. I mean, she was a decent actor. I got no problems with her other than, just personally not a fan.
Okay.
Oh, and okay, also so, she left for Ireland, if you're going to leave, that's fine. You have that right. But
right.
I don't care about what you say now because you left. You bailed.
I know. But honestly, would you bail if you had the means and the opportunity?
I don't know. But if I did, I would leave it behind. It's like, okay, well, it's not my problem anymore. And I feel like I would lose my voice if I did that. Like, I don't know. It just seems like you should.
A little disingenuous is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to stay and fight, you'd have more impact. You'd have more resonance. You'd have more, value in speaking out.
Yeah.
But revoking your citizenship is absolutely nonsense. Absolutely.
Yes.
And no one should talk. No American who cares about America and the Constitution and the idea that we don't have kings here, no one who cares about any of that should tolerate that kind of speech.
I know.
But revoking your citizenship.
I know. He's so hung up with revocation of citizenship. I don't understand this whole administration's perspective.
He wants to be
on
king.
Who's allowed to be here and who's not allowed to be here. And I just, I fear for this situation. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, I give it to Trump. He's given me a whole new set of emotions to feel. These emotions I never thought I would feel. I never thought they would come to me. I never thought they would come for me. I have this emotion now that I pass by some of my neighbors. Like I went past the, what's the Sikh temple called? Yeah, whatever that is. I was like, as I was passing by, there are usually a couple of Sikh that are wandering around outside their compound.
The Guru Nanak Dwara.
Yeah, that the Dwara, I think.
Yeah.
Damn, they could be just taken away off the streets because they're brown and they have turbans.
Right.
I've never had to fear for my neighbors like that before.
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. You know, I was shopping yesterday at Fry's, and you know how you pull the carts apart and they don't pull apart. And I was trying to pull the cart apart. A middle-aged Hispanic woman was like, oh, she had already like pulled her cart apart and wiped it down. And she gave it to me. And I said, thank you. Cause she saw I was struggling and I evidently appear old. And I said, thank you so much. And she just nodded and then proceeded to clean off the next cart. And I'm like, how, you know, she could be taken away. And there was nothing in that gesture that bespoke of anything of, ill will. It was just such a simple. And I just said to her, I said, that was so kind. Thank you so much. And she just smiled and walked away. And we went to the vegetable area. You're right.
The point is no one gets taken away. The worst people, the best people. It doesn't matter what kind of people you are. If you're an American, you don't get taken away without a warrant.
Right.
And you don't get taken away and disappeared. You get taken, you get held, and then you get in front of a judge, and then you get to put your case to a judge and a jury.
Yeah, anyone, and that applies to Americans and people here legally or whatever alike. It's due process.
It applies to everyone who is on the landmass that is the United States of America.
Right.
The Constitution is very clear about this.
It is.
Citizens or not, you have habeas corpus. You have due process. You have rights.
It is.
Regardless, because we don't know. How are you supposed to know who has the rights and who doesn't have the rights until you're allowed to speak up for yourself and say, yeah, no, actually, I am a citizen. Here's my driver's license or what have you. If you don't have those rights, you don't have rights.
But do we all have to start carrying copies of our passports?
It won't matter.
Right.
ICE doesn't care if you're carrying it or not.
Well, evidently, because they
have.
If you
show it to them, they'll take it from you and throw it away.
And they have taken citizens. You know, Yes. They have taken citizens.
We don't know how many. We'll never know how many.
We'll never know how many. So speaking of taking citizens, that raid on the cannabis farm resulting in the death of one from falling from the roof of the greenhouse, that really got to me. You know, people are running and fleeing and running on rooftops and plunging to their death over this. How is this helpful?
It's not helpful.
No, okay.
But you know what else isn't helpful?
What?
Elon Musk pretending to start a new party.
Right.
Well, actually, it might be helpful. I mean, if you can split, you know, first election I voted in was Clinton versus Bush. And
okay.
Bush should have won that election.
Uh-huh.
But Perot came in as a third candidate.
Perot. Uh-huh.
Yes. Who I voted for.
I did too. It was our fault. That was my first election too.
You know, Clinton was fine. Turned out to be okay, aside from being a sex pest.
Right.
You know, he turned out to be a reasonably effective president.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Even though he messed up a bunch of stuff. But that's okay.
But we Jill Steined it, man. That's not good.
But Jill Stein, I don't know if she was a spoiler as so much as a grifter and someone who should, you know, whose citizenship should be revoked would be Jill Stein's.
Oh, my God. We can't even say that in jest.
I just did.
I know. Okay, so.
So don't tell me.
Go on. No, go on.
Yeah,
we're an American, damn it.
This is America. It's America. I can say any dumb thing I want.
Continue to school me on Elon Musk's American Party because I just want
to
know.
I don't have much to school. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? I mean, he doesn't. Since he went crazy, he hasn't really done very well with anything he's been working on. So I don't expect him to have the ability. And plus, he's never actually started anything. He's always come in after the thing has started and kind of bought his way into it.
Right. So he hasn't really started this. There hasn't been.
Well, he's trying to start it. So it's like he's never actually started anything in his life. So he's probably not going to be very good at it. But maybe, hey, you know what? More power to him. If he can split the base, please go ahead, do it.
But is it going to be viable or you know, like I mentioned, Jill Stein.
I don't care if it's viable. Well, Perot wasn't viable, but he lost the election for Bush.
Right.
That's
but I just don't want them losing the election for the corrupt current status quo. You know, keeping them the corrupt current status quo. That's my new term. But like, you know, I mean, if he splits the base and people go wonk, I mean, I don't know what can happen with the third party. And am I a big fan
of it? Catherine, if he splits the MAGA base, that's nothing but good.
I just don't want to screw it up for the other side. I don't want to screw it up for the Democrats.
He's not going to screw it up for the Democrats. He's going to split the MAGA base.
Okay.
He's not going to split the Democrat base.
There's MAGA, and then there's like what's left of the Republican Party.
No, there is nothing left of the Republican Party.
Oh, okay. I try to see it differently, but I don't know if he's ever going to split that 30-some-odd percent.
Unless John McCain's corpse can rise up from the dead and start voting again, the Republican Party is as dead as John McCain is.
Okay. God, that's depressing.
Is this more or less depressing that Cracker Barrel has gotten rid of their antiques?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I never was a big fan of the, you know, the spiders and the dust at the Cracker Barrel. I don't know. Not that I'm just saying that. But my father was a fan of the Cracker Barrel.
I'm a fan of the Cracker Barrel. But I'm also a fan of spiders because they're apex predators. And if you want to be an alpha male, you got to eat apex predators.
Oh, God. Well, maybe you ate some at the Cracker Barrel. I was never a fan, but I would go there because my dad really liked it. My mom, they just got a hoot out of it. I just think the renovation and the antiques being gone, it may look cleaner, but I think it's boring.
It's not clean. It may look clean. Whatever. Okay, I have two things to say about this, and I've already forgotten both of them because you've made me riled up so much. Here we go. I don't like the new look. Right? It's not Cracker Barrel.
It's not Cracker Barrel.
But I guess I have three things. But I don't mind that they tried. Like, you know, it's okay to try. Uh-huh. I don't know if this, and the third thing is this nationwide? I don't know if this is just one Cracker Barrel they're testing out. It's fine to test, right? Give it a try.
Right.
You gotta try new things once in a while, and that's okay.
Right.
But no, I don't like it. And I'm not sticking to the mud. Could try new things. But if they don't work out, don't roll it out nationwide.
They're selling the antiques, I read.
Okay. Well, what else would you rather them throw them out?
No, there were some that were in a warehouse, but they should hold on to them to see if this concept lasts. I think it looks like a very boring house renovation.
Well, the thing is, with the old Cracker Barrel, it was darker interior, and that gave you a little bit more privacy, or at least the feeling of privacy. Now everything's
dull
and white. It looks like a hospital or something, or you know, it any does. Other number of restaurants. It looks the same as every other freaking restaurant. Why do you want to be the same?
Right. I don't want to be the same.
But fourth point on Cracker Barrel is they have the best pancakes. They have the best pancakes, and I don't know why you can't love their pancakes. You should just eat the pancakes and be happy.
Oh, maybe I'll have to try that.
You haven't tried them yet. It seems too late for you.
Well, I'm not going to go into the new Cracker Barrel.
Last note was, did you have anything to say about the Foundry Gallery?
The Foundry Gallery. Can I say one more thing about a restaurant?
Yes.
I just want to give a little shout out to this place I found. It's been there for 30 years. I found it about a month and a half ago. It's called The Place.
Okay.
I think it's called The Place. I know you're rolling your eyes.
Yeah, that's pretentious.
It's on Bell Road. And it's, and I've driven by, and I was coming back from a doctor's appointment, and I was hungry. And I'm like, oh, darn, I've got to stop. Like, what is The Place? And I saw people just pouring in. And I'm like, you know, what is this place? So I went in their parking lot and I pulled up their website, and I decided just to bite the bullet and go in. It's adorable. It's like an old fashioned diner-ish thing.
Okay.
And so the gal, and I'm like, I just want a little, can I just have a little booth? And she goes, I'll sit you back in the bar. They have a full on freaking bar. The place opens at 6 a.m. and there's a sign on the bar that says, if you don't start drinking in the morning, how can you drink all day, or something like that. It's hilarious. Their food is phenomenal.
Okay.
And I can't wait to go back and try their chicken fried steak.
Ew.
For breakfast. And they also have pancakes.
You want to eat chicken fried steak and yet you won't go to Cracker Barrel? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know.
I don't eat chicken fried steak, but if I did, I would do it at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, I went there the day after my vegan friend left, when Lori left for Minnesota, and I was just craving red meat, and I got the biggest patty melt, and it was so delicious. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. But anyway, that's
so interesting.
Isn't
Thanks
it?
Thanks for sharing.
Okay, should we move on to Art Corner?
You haven't been, have you been to the Foundry?
I have not been to the Foundry, and I've got to get out of this house.
I don't know. Do you have any feeling about it then?
I would like to go. I mean, it looks delightful. Talk lot more about it. You've talked about it before. I've wanted to go before, and
so you know, I don't like pretension, and I hate the name because it's Found colon R-E. So it's supposed to be pronounced Foundry.
Right.
Because it's a very pretentious name.
Okay. It's here in Phoenix.
Yes. It's obviously here in Phoenix. I bring it up because I was at the Foundry is actually a hotel and with an attached gallery.
Right.
And I was at the hotel a few weeks ago, and I noticed the artwork that is hung up throughout the hotel is some of the best artwork I've ever seen. I don't think I've ever seen a show this good in my freaking life.
Really?
At a gallery. Now, granted, I'm not talking about museums.
Museums are different.
Stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
But at a gallery, like every single piece was very impressive. I fell in love with almost every single piece. And that was just the stuff that was hanging in the hotel. So you go in the hotel, you can walk around and look at the pieces, and then you can walk through and go to the gallery.
Okay.
So I was blown away. I didn't even know a gallery could be this good. I've been to more expensive galleries. Right.
Right.
Well, most of the stuff is crap.
What made them? I mean, I think it's fascinating that there's a premier gallery space inside of a hotel.
Well, it's a gallery space. I don't know if I'm going to call it premier.
Well, their website said it's premier.
Oh, and disclosure, Tim Sprague, one of the builders of the Foundry, is my brother-in-law.
I know that. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the fact that I love the gallery, and I haven't even told him this, and I probably wouldn't because I don't know.
What was the motivation behind it to fuse those two concepts?
Oh, Tim Sprague is Mr. Art Guy. He wants everything to be, he is Mr. Fusion. He wants everything. He loves downtown. He wants everybody to live downtown. He art and space and food and everything and music and everything should be all rolled into life as much as possible.
Tim Sprague for mayor.
I think he probably does more good as a developer.
Okay, Tim Sprague for developer.
Though he knows everybody, so he could probably be elected mayor in a heartbeat.
I like downtown Phoenix. I really do.
Well, but you know, a big part of that is more and more of it is becoming Tim Sprague. He did, or he was part of, he's part of the Foundry. He's part of, I can't remember that. There's another development that's right behind the Foundry. Beautiful place right in the park.
Okay.
Hans Park. And Grand, something on Grand.
Mm. I haven't been down there for years either.
So they took an old beat up run down motel. That was known for basically a drug hangout, and they turned it into affordable housing. And affordable housing and affordable housing for artists. So there's part of it is just the dedicated.
Oh, place. I know that. Right. Okay. I am familiar with that space.
What is it called? On Grand? Something on Grand.
It's something on Grand. I know. I can see it in my mind's eye because I've been there and I've been in some of the studios. And that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, that's motivating. It, you know, the heat, I don't know if the heat's breaking yet. It certainly was like.
Well, it's a little bit cooler this week.
It's a little bit cooler.
Because it's inside. The hotel is not an outside hotel. I know, but hotel. I've got it. It's but an I've inside
got,
hotel.
But I've, well, that's good. But I've got to leave my house to get anywhere. And so that's the, you know, my friend Joe was like, I'm on house arrest till October. And I'm like, what? What happened? He was like, no, it's self-imposed. I don't go out of the house unless I have to. But
you can get up early and go out. It's not that I took my dog for a walk. It's like 5:45 this morning.
It's nice out, isn't it, at that time? It's very nice. Yeah, it's the kind of climate, the temperatures that I love. So, no, okay, you know, I'm going to have to go to the Foundry. You've spoken about it.
Oh, okay.
I knew that Tim Sprague was involved with it. He was on our podcast a couple years ago,
right.
And that was just delightful. You interviewed him. It was fantastic. So listen to that episode. Re-listen if you're listening now. We should go there. I'll go.
I've been there. It's up to you now. And you were supposed to do all the galleries. That was your job. And
I know, but again.
How many galleries have you gotten to since
None.
Oh,
zero.
Oh, that's good. You're doing great. Doing great. Yeah. Good work there, Kathy.
So, anyway.
You know what? With that kind of track record, I think you would fit right in with the Trump administration.
Don't say that.
What do you want to run? Homeland Defense, Department of Defense, Department of Libraries? I don't know. Is there a Department of Libraries?
No, but there probably could be. There's a department that's looking at museums. And I don't even want to talk about that. I can't talk about it anymore.
Was this the most spectacular 100th episode of all 100 episodes? This is our best 100th episode of all time.
No one's ever seen anything like it.
From us.
All right, on that note.
Wow, on that upbeat note. Well, okay. See you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.